Hallelujah. So Luke 2, I'm going to just remind you of a few scriptures before we get to Luke 2. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 29:18 says that without a vision, the people perish, but happy is he who keeps the law. Happy is he who keeps the law. Well, in other words, without a vision, people are drawn away. People float off and they're getting set loose from the thing they're supposed to be attached to. But if we'll keep the law, in other words, what we would say today is if we'll keep the word, if we'll hear it, receive it, understand it, and keep it, then happy is he who will keep to the word, who will keep to what God has said and is saying in the midst of everything else. Right now, and especially this last week, we've had a huge, upset in the atmosphere. And the enemy is really trying to come in and divide and conquer. But we don't have to respond to that. We don't have to let that be the end of us. We don't have to let that be the end of anything. In other words, we still hold the word that he's already given us. We hold to the word that he's already put in front of us. We hold to that which he's already put in us. And we keep on looking for the promises that he's declared over us. And so that's what we want to do this week. But I was just reminded there as I was looking to see what the Lord wanted to say, just reminded of how the Lord, he plans these things from way, way, way back. And that's the thing that was so remarkable. As I began to research, I understand that this is a Christmas story in Luke 2. We usually use it as a Christmas story, but you have to remember, for me, Christmas was last weekend. Okay? So I'm still locked in here because I didn't do it when the rest of y'all did it. So we're just still locked in this little place. But the thing is, what it does is it illustrates the goodness of God. It illustrates how long God is and how patient God is with his word and how long he had spoken of his word and spoken of his promises and his truth before it even ever manifested. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to try to go there. And one more thing I want to remind you of is that Revelations 1:18... In Revelations 1:18, he tells us that he is the one who was and is to come. That our Lord is, he was, he is, and he is to come. In other words, he's living outside of time. He's living outside of the thing that we understand is time. This place and period that we're at, this doesn't exist in his world. So he's looking at this moment, but he's also looking at the end moment. He's looking at the beginning moment. He sees it all from the moment, from this moment. And so that's something that we just want to keep in mind as his promises, as he gives a promise, he's already living in the promise. He already sees it fulfilled. And when he sees it fulfilled, now he's working that towards that end. Glory. So I'm going to start in Revelations 1. I'm going to end in Revelations 1 if I remember to get there. So glory to God. All right. So let's take this for a second here. And Luke 2, verse 4. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house and the family of David. He was of the house and the family of David. This is why Bethlehem was called the city of David. And if you'll just hold your place there and flip back to Ruth 4. And that'll be just in front of Samuel. I can tell you there's so much authority in Ruth, in the book of Ruth, and such an authority. I remember a long time ago, Ray Lynn did a teaching on Ruth, and it was amazing. I'm not going to repeat all that, but it was a cool, just giving you a shout out. So hallelujah. But see, in Ruth 4, it says here, now we're looking at Boaz, and in Ruth 4, Boaz is in the process. He has his eye on Ruth. I mean, Ruth's mother-in-law was Naomi. And so he has his eye on Ruth. That's the prize that he actually sees, okay? But his but Naomi has this portion of land that needs to be redeemed. And with the redemption of the land also comes the redemption of Ruth. And so he sees this land out here, and he says, okay, I'm going to redeem the parcel of land belonging to Naomi. He redeems it, and Ruth comes as part of the package. It's all one big deal. And as he does that, then their child is Boaz, the grandfather of David. These very lands that they're redeeming, that Boaz is redeeming, is the lands of Bethlehem. It's the lands of Bethlehem. So he's sitting there in Bethlehem. He's redeeming the very land that we're fixing to talk about. Hallelujah. So now we can jump back to Luke 2. I told you to keep your fingers there, right? For those who are on the phone, it's going to take longer. Kapoor. That's why you got to use a real print. And Joseph went to, so he went up into the house of David and family of David in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and with child. And it came about while they were there that the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And we've all heard that every Christmas. Every Christmas. You've heard it, whether you, even for those who didn't understand anything else about God, they've heard this. And now in the same region were some shepherds, staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid. See, as these shepherds are standing out here in the field, they're doing something that's been done for generations. Something that's been done for generations here. But what you need to understand is that field, this field was not just any field. These lambs were not just any lambs. These sheep were not just any sheep. These were the sheep that were prepared for the sacrifice. Jerusalem is kind of like a suburb of, Bethlehem is like a suburb of Jerusalem. And all the sheep that were there, this is where they kept and raised the flocks that were considered holy. And because they considered these flocks holy, when they were born, they were brought in. When it was time for a lamb to be born, they were brought in, and they were brought into one particular place, a tower, a watchtower, and it was called the Watchtower of the Sheep, I believe it's called. So the Watchtower of the Sheep, and they were blown, and they would be set underneath there in the stable. In the stable. So this has been practiced for generations. Wow. And because it's been practiced for generations, they're out there and they understand what the angel is telling them here. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of Bethlehem, David, there's been born for you a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, I want you to think about this. There's a great joy. See how it says this? It's interesting that they word it. Good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. He wasn't just speaking and releasing joy. He was also telling them there's a joy here in heaven over what is happening for you, the people. There's a joy here in heaven, and it's the joy of the Father. That's the thing that we often fail to see, is the joy of the Father for this event that is unfolding right now. But this is an event that is unfolding right now. In this event, he sees both the past and he sees the future. In the moment that he's proclaiming joy, he's also witnessing the cross. In the moment that he's proclaiming joy, he's also seeing the foundation that was laid when the land was redeemed so that it would stay in the hands of those who would bring it forth. When this joy was over with the Father, he chose to look at the joy of this situation, the joy of the redemption above the price of the cross. He chose to look at you. He chose to look at you, and you were the joy that he saw. He lived in the joy of his promise in that moment and proclaimed it to these shepherds. And he said, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Guess what they would do when a little ewe would be born, when the baby was born, in order to protect it so that it would stay perfect and unblemished and not get, see, these mangers, we portray the mangers as wooden stalls, but they normally were really basins that were built into the stone. And in order to protect the ewe from the stone, they would wrap it in clothes and set it in there so that it couldn't move, like you would do a little cat when you're trying to feed it. So they would set it in there so that it couldn't harm itself. But the whole point of it, and the point that they would understand, was it was being prepared from the first moment for the sacrifice. What he's saying and what they recognize, he said, when they say this is a sign for you, is he was preparing this baby for that sacrifice. And your Father, your Heavenly Father, lived in that moment knowing the sacrifice, but knowing the joy of the redemption that he's offering you. Knowing where he has taken you. See, sometimes we look to something and we see only the end of something. This week, I kind of looked like the news was kind of wanted to tell you it was the end of something. The news wanted you to believe the lie that it's all over and it's all done. But see, what God is telling you is that there is more. See, what looked like an end to one was only the birth for another. What looked like was the end for one was only the beginning for another. What looked like a birth was actually a death, which actually was a birth in itself. And he was seeing and living in all of it in the moment that he had joy. Joy for you. And see, that's why there will be a sign for you, and you'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. See, when you hear that voice telling you that God is displeased with you, guess what? That didn't come from God. That didn't come from the Lord. That didn't come from your Savior. There's one who seeks to kill and destroy, and he has no part in you. Hallelujah. Glory. See, this crown that was already being offered here had to come through the house of David. It had to come through the house of David. You know what Bethlehem actually means? House of bread. House of bread. In other words, the living bread. The living bread was being delivered. It was being recognized and sent forth. The one who was the lamb who was to be slain was also the bread of life. to be released. See, you didn't know there was so much in the Christmas story, did you? Hebrews 10 tells us that this body has been prepared. See, sacrifices you took no interest in, but this body was prepared, and I've come to do thy will, Father. I've come to do thy will. This was the commencement. He was fulfilling that which was in the Father's will, but he was also fulfilling that which redeemed us. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing which has happened to the Lord is made known to us. And they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. And you think about it, if you hear that and you go, well, what did they do? Wander around town knocking on doors all night? But no, they knew the tower of the sheep. The tower of the sheep would be where this manger would be. Because why? Because the Lord had always said, it's a sign for you. And they understood the sign that you'll find this baby wrapped. Everywhere else, this is where the babies would be wrapped and laid in the manger. So that's how they come. There's actually a name for the tower, but I don't remember. It's a Jewish name, so I don't remember. But there's a name for the tower. The tower of the flock. See, Jesus, last Wednesday, Carlos brought this out. He stole some of the things that I was already working on. And Carlos, you did a good job. Yeah, he was. But in Luke 24, the Lord begins to explain after his resurrection. He begins to explain the scriptures, not just the prophets, but the scriptures that were concerning himself. See, these are scriptures that were concerning himself. And if you want evidence of some other scriptures here, go with me real quick. You can, I think I'm done with Luke 2, but if you want to hold your place there. Go to Micah. Okay. Because in Micah 4, a place was called the Tower of the Flock. And Micah 4, verse 8 says this. For you, as for you, the Tower of the Flock, Hill of the Daughter of Zion, to you it will come. Even the former dominion will come. Even the kingdom of the daughter of Jerusalem. Chapter 5. But as for you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, for you one will go forth from me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from days of eternity. And I'll skip down to verse 4. And he will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will remain, because at that time he will be great to the ends of the earth. They will be great to the ends of the earth. He was speaking and releasing the end from the beginning. Through Micah here, he's speaking specifically to the city of Bethlehem to say what's about to happen. But it's 400 years before it happens. But he had already had it planned out. And it was generations and generations before that that he had the land redeemed so that Bethlehem could be where it was supposed to be. See, God sees it all, and he's planning it all, and his plan will not be thwarted. It doesn't matter what today might look like. His plan will not be thwarted. It will be coming forth to its fruition as it's already been declared. That's what we're looking for. Tina introduced a concept for the end of the year called the interception. An interception is a sudden reversal. a suddenly that changes the game. I watched a few minutes of the game, and it happened to be the right couple of minutes of the game yesterday. And see, that was it was Los Angeles Seattle. Yeah, Los Angeles and Seattle. And so he goes to throw just a quick little lateral. Laterals never get intercepted. But this time, see, an interception doesn't happen without preparation. He knew what to look for. This guy knew what to look for, and he was waiting. Anticipation is necessary for the interception. He was waiting in anticipation, and then he took a risk, because he had to take a risk, because he had to come off his man. And if he comes off his man and he misses, that guy's going to the house. But he came off his man and walked it right into the middle of it, snagged it, and went in for six. A sudden reversal of fortunes that set the tone of the game. It set the tone of the game. A sudden reversal is what the Lord, this concept of intercession, this sudden reversal is what happens coming out of heaven. There's a divine reset that's happening because of what heaven's already declared. And that's what we're looking for. Hallelujah. So we stand in the hope and the anticipation, knowing that all the patience, all the faith that we've had is working itself to an end. That never goes away. So don't believe the enemy's lies when he's telling you, well, you're just all done and you're washed up, you might as well just walk away. Because that's never the case. Faith is always going to have its perfect work. Shumbadada. Shumbadada. Hallelujah. And here's another thing. And actually, LaRue mentioned it earlier. Luke 1 and 33 says that the kingdom shall have no end. The kingdom shall have no end. Luke 12 tells you that it's his good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. His kingdom shall have no end, and it's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We get to walk in the fullness of this opportunity. We get to stand in the fullness and the assurance of what he's doing as we go forth. Even in this week and over the coming weeks, on the coming months, whatever it is, I guarantee you that there's a divine opportunity getting presented to us to step into and bring it to the house. Come on. Hallelujah. Divine interception. Be ready. Be anticipating. Be in faith. Be in preparation. Because as you're in faith and as you're in preparation, then the opportunity presents itself. You recognize it and step into it and take it to the house. Hallelujah. Recognize 1 Corinthians 3:3 says, you know, Paul's asking them, are you acting as mere men? In other words, he expected for them not to be acting as mere men. He had an expectation that they would understand that with the Holy Ghost inside of you, you're greater than any circumstance and situation that's presenting itself to you. You're greater than your old nature. You're greater than the old way. You're greater than the things that the enemy has tried to place in front of you. You're greater than the word that he's tried to whisper in your ear. Because why? Because Christ is in you, the hope of glory. You already have the answer built in. You already have the answer coming through. All we have to do is stand and keep the word. Stand and keep the word. Stand and keep the word. I told you I would wrap up in Revelations 1, right? 1. And so Revelations 1, in the very moment. There we go. Hey, look, I found it. And in Revelations 1, in the very moment when Christ died on the cross, those men thought everything was lost. Wow. They thought the enemy had won. They thought that their dreams and their vision was all done. In that moment, they were hopeless. But in that moment, the Father was seeing the next step. In that moment, Christ himself was doing this right here. Because Christ himself says, "And in the living one, and I was dead, and therefore, behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and of hell." He was already living in the moment of the victory. In the moment of what they have perceived as his greatest defeat was a moment of his greatest victory. The greatest thing that he got to do in his whole journey here was in that moment when they thought it was all done. He was already in the victory. The resurrection was then manifested to everybody else, so everybody got to see it and be a part of it. But the resurrection, he was something he was carrying with him from the moment of the birth. Let's carry our resurrection. Let's carry our resurrection and take it to the house. Let's carry our resurrection and take it all the way through. Let's hold on to what God has said and stay where he's already called us to stay. Amen. Amen.